You know, everything that the devil's thrown at us this morning has not stopped us from praising God. You know, and I can tell you one thing. I'm going to praise him until I take my last breath. And then you know what? When this body is no more, I'm going to be praising him even more. I can then praise him 24/7, 7 days, no matter. Because you know the greatest part about everything is in heaven. There is no time. So I can just praise him all the time and thank him personally for what he's done in my life. You know, last week I was sharing with you guys, I brought to your attention the trouble I was having with one of the members of our church and how for years he's like kind of been, he just got me to the point that I just wanted to throw up my hands and just say, I've had enough. This church, right here. But I can tell you this much. I had to stop and think, what would Jesus want me to do? Would he want me to quit? Would he want me to give up on that person? He would want me to continue to love him. He would want me to take and wrap my arms around him and just support him. You see, those that were here last week know who I'm talking about because I told you his name. But he's just been haunting me for years and won't go away. I tried to move 3,000 miles and he followed me there. It just... See, you don't understand. The person I'm talking about is me. You see, I shared with you guys earlier that we need to get out of our own way sometimes so that God can bless us, so that we can be obedient to his plan. But sometimes we get in our own way. You see, he's trying to tell us to go right, and we say, no, God, I want to go left. And he tells you to go right, and you're like, uh-uh, I'm going left. And when you go left and you run into that brick wall and you say, I shoulda, coulda, woulda, listen to what God was telling me. Now you got to backtrack. You got to go back. And now you got to be humble yourself because you know what? Along the way, somebody that you should have been helping didn't get helped. Somebody you should have been praying for didn't get prayed for. You know, I've heard a story about somebody who didn't know why God woke him up in the middle of the night and told him to go buy a gallon of milk. And then on the way home with that gallon of milk that they didn't know, that they didn't need, God told him, stop right here. Go knock on that door. And there was a baby in that apartment building that needed that milk. You see, we've got to be obedient to what God is telling us to do. Everybody in here is a child of the Most High, but every one of us in here are disobedient from time to time, and we need to stop it. You see, last week I gave you four principles of victory, a victory that God has guaranteed us if we would just persevere. I asked you last week, I said, somebody show me in the Holy Bible where he promised us that our lives would be forever easy after accepting his gift of salvation. I asked you, and some readily admitted that it ain't there. There's nowhere in the Bible that says the road will be easy once we accept him as our Lord and Savior. But I can tell you what is in there. It says that we will have trials and there will be persecution. You see, there was even a psalmist that wrote that nobody told me that the road would be easy. But you know what? With our faith in the Father in heaven, we will make it through. And he has showed us how. You see, he gave us a whole big book. It's called the Bible. Some folks say it's the basic instructions before leaving Earth. And anybody who has read through it knows that that's exactly what it is. You see, he started out with the Old Testament, gave us a little bit of history. And then he turned around and he said, this is your future. If you follow me, you have a future. You will be victorious. So today, our message is simply titled, The Principles of Victory, Part 2. And our scripture is taken from Exodus, the 13th chapter, the 3rd verse through the 8th verse. And I'm just going to walk through it, if that's okay with you. You see, this week, I want to speak to you on the second part of the series, realize a grand purpose, this spirit-filled life. Anybody in here got a spirit-filled life? Anybody in here want more in your life? Anybody in here is looking to have a better relationship with Jesus? I see a whole lot of heads shaking, and I love it. You see, last week we learned the first thing in the principles of victory is that if you want to live a victorious life, you must receive a gracious provision, and it's called salvation. The second thing in the principles of victory that you must realize a grand purpose, because being saved, get this, listen, being saved is a wonderful thing. You see, God has already promised us victory. And I want to tell you something if you didn't know it. The one thing about God is this: God cannot lie. Unlike some people in this country, God cannot lie. When he says it so shall be, it will be. And that you can take to the bank. You see, I want to go back to the children of Israel. You see, God had a purpose for them. You see, it wasn't that he just wanted to bring them out of Egypt and go into the wilderness of Sinai. God had a plan for his people that what they were going to do is come out of Egypt and go into the land of Canaan. You know, what I'm talking about right now is victory. You see, they had victory. They defeated Pharaoh. And then through their disobedience, they got stuck. They got stuck in the wilderness. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been in the wilderness. And I was so happy when I got out. You see, sometimes we need to go into the wilderness so God can get us straightened out. Sometimes we got to go there so we can get out of our own way. Okay, I'm only talking about me.
We can be straightened out.
You see, God brought them out so that he could bring them in. You can't go out, you can't go in unless you come out. You see, let's turn to Exodus chapter 13, verses 3 through 8. Let me know when you get there. I see some folks with their Bibles. Exodus chapter 13, verses 3 through 8. And I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version, which says, "And Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you went out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of the hand of the Lord, brought you out of this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten. On this day, you are going out in the month of Ab. And it shall be when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Ooh, that's a lot of bites. which he swore to your fathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, that you shall keep this servant this month. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day there shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and no leavened bread shall be eaten among be seen among you, nor shall leavened bread be seen among you in all your quarters. And you shall tell your sons that in that day, saying, this is done because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. Think about it. God brought them out of Egypt. You see, what God is saying here is that, look, I brought you out that I might bring you in. God says, when you get into the land, notice, he said, you know, listen what he called it. He calls it the land flowing with milk and honey. And then he says, then I want you to celebrate. Then I want you to keep the feast of the Passover. Now remember, that is not a request. It's a command that they are to keep the feast of the unleavened bread. I want you to celebrate. And when you celebrate the feast, your son is going to come to you, and your son is going to say, Dad, what does it mean? And you can tell your son, son, we are celebrating what God did for us when God brought us out of Egypt and God brought us into this land. Can you see there's a problem here? Now, I want to ask you a simple question. Why is it that the devil is getting so many of the kids of the families in our churches today? The people who sing in the choir, the people who take up the offering, the people who teach Sunday school, the people who love God, the people who are saved, the people who are tithing, the people who live clean lives. Why is the devil getting their children? Many times they're into drugs. They won't come to church. They're running with the wrong crowd. How does this happen? Now, for some of us, it's not our children, it's our grandchildren. But I want to tell you one reason that a lot of this happens is there are people who have come out of Egypt, but they've never gone into Canaan. Can I share something that happened to me on Friday? Friday, I'm about ready to leave work, and I'm talking to my coworker because I had to give her reports of what was going on. And I'm glancing out the window, and I see a nice car pull up, a Lexus pull up, and it's sitting there. And all of a sudden, another car comes up and smashes into the front of it. And I looked at my coworker and said, did I just see that? And she said, yeah, he just ran into him. And it had to be intentional because he was on the side of the road. He was off the road. So I'm sitting there, and I'm looking. And the guy gets out his car, and like he's going to exchange information. And the second driver gets out yelling and screaming. Sound familiar? And then we're watching the second man gets into the first man's car and drives off. Now, my coworker is calling the police. I go out to find out, are you okay? And I'm asking the man. And he says, yeah. That's my son. I looked at him. Said, yeah, that's my son. Well, we're calling the police. He says, yeah, because I want to report the car stolen. Now, see, the first man driving a nice Lexus, suit and tie, you can tell that he's taking care of business. And then his son is driving a car that none of you would be seen in. Did I say you wouldn't be seen in? That's how bad it was. And here, the son is just circling the block, screeching the tires and everything. And then he stops, and every time he stops, he yells at his dad, you better get my car out. You see, the son's car was in our yard. The police had impounded it. So he's screaming, and he's yelling, and circling the block. This is going on for 10 minutes while we're waiting for the police to get there. And then the son finally screams, stops at the, and he gets out the car and he's yelling and screaming at his dad. It got to the point we had to go get the dad and bring the dad in the office and lock the doors. So his dad is like, I try. And I'm like, I understand. Let me see if I can calm him down a little bit. So I went out and was talking to the young man and I got him calmed down enough that, you know, he was a little rational, but he's still jumping up and down. My dad better get my car out this shop. And it's like, by then the police finally arrived. And the cops are talking to him, talking to the dad, and the dad's like, yeah, I didn't tell him he could take my car. And I'm like, you know what? I've been here since 6 o'clock. It's now 2:30. I should have been out of here an hour ago. I'm gone. I don't know what happened, but I can tell you this. The father did not deserve what that child was doing to him. The father did not deserve it. You see, we too many times look at the parent and say the parent must have did something wrong. But sometimes a parent can't control what the child does. But God can. We need to keep on praying for our children. You see, anyway, listen, back to the story. Now you know, here we are, the children of Egypt, of Israel, they're walking around in the wilderness. 40 years. 40 years they're walking around. And you know what they had to eat in the wilderness? Anybody want to take a guess? They had manna. Do you know how long they ate manna? They ate manna for 40 years. Now, manna was not meant to satisfy them. It was only meant to sustain them until they got into the land that is flowing with milk and honey, oil and corn, figs and pomegranates. It was only meant as a temporary food. You see, their journey out of Egypt should have taken them only 11 days, not 40 years. Y'all, okay, get the calculator out. That's a long time to be walking, right? You see, they came out of Egypt, and they were to go into Canaan, but because of their unbelief, they're going around and around and around in the desert, still not believing God. They came out of Egypt, but they had never gone into Canaan. They, or shall I say, we, still are in the wilderness. You see, if you were here last week, you know Canaan represents heaven, a place full of milk and honey, a place where we would never want anything. All of our needs would be met. You see, while they're walking in the wilderness, there's some things that happen. While they're walking for 40 years, there were some kids born. And you see, child that was born in a wilderness never gets asked his mama what's for breakfast, because he already knows it's manna. He never gets to ask his mama what's for lunch. He already knows it's manna. He never gets to ask his mama what's for dinner, because it's manna. Can you imagine growing up and the only thing you had to eat day in and day out was oatmeal? Think about it. If all you had to eat three meals a day was oatmeal, you'd get pretty tired of it, right? But the thing is that this child doesn't even get to say, Mama, what are we having tomorrow? You see, he already knows what they're having tomorrow. They're having manna, 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 and more manna. Manna in the morning, manna in the evening, manna all the time. Can you just say manna, manna, manna? That's all this kid gets. And then suppose this. You're that child, about 14 years old, and your dad comes over to you while you're walking through the wilderness, and he says, D, we're going to celebrate. And I can tell just looking at Sarah's eyes what she was thinking. The kid is saying, Dad, what are we celebrating? I want you to picture this. The father's sitting on a hot rock, because they're out in the desert. The son is sitting on a cactus, and he says to the father, and the father says, we're going to have a feast of Passover. And the son says, well, Dad, we're doing what? He says, we're celebrating, son. Now, remember, this kid has heard sermons about Canaan. That's all he's heard. Just sermons about Canaan. He's never seen Canaan. He might have heard Pastor James preach about Canaan, but he hasn't seen this land of milk and honey. And his parents aren't living in Canaan. His parents are not even living the victorious, spirit-filled life. They're just living. Anybody in here can relate? Okay. I know I'm the only one. I'll preach to myself today. You see, all his parents ever say is that they've come out of Egypt, but they've never entered the promised land. They look at him and say, now we're going to celebrate. He looks around and he says, we're what? Just imagine a rattlesnake goes by. The son says, what? Here the sun is broiling. It's hot. The tumbleweeds are coming along just fine. They're growing. They're doing a wonderful job. Anybody ever see a tumbleweed? They don't need much, do they? But they grow out of nowhere. You see, he looks at his dad. And all of you can imagine that look of disbelief as he's saying, Dad, we're doing what, Dad? His response is simply, Dad, don't you think it's about time we go back into Egypt? I mean, where there was fish and garlic and melons and fun stuff to do? Remember, this kid is 14 years old. He's out in the desert. All he's doing is walking. All we're going to do is suffer in the heat of this desert. You see, I'm going to tell you That's why the devil is getting a lot of the kids of good people. They come out, but they never go in. They have never learned how to live a victorious life before their children. And their children know that their parents are sincere, but they feel like they've just simply missed the boat. You see, God brought us out so that God could bring us in. And if you have been one of those that are simply stuck in the desert, you have to understand, not only must you receive a gracious provision that's called salvation, but you must realize a grand purpose, which is the victory that God has for you, for each of you. He's guaranteed us victory. And I'm almost finished, but I want to ask you, are you tired of being stuck in the wilderness? Are you ready to enter into the promised land, the land of milk and honey? Are you ready to accept all that God has planned for you? Will you never get out of the wilderness? You will, if you stop and think. You got to stop thinking that you are entitled to anything and believing that Jesus Christ, our Lord, is everything. You see, we got a problem in this country. We think we're entitled to do whatever we want. We're entitled to have whatever we want, to go wherever we want. You see, we are a bunch of spoiled little brats in this country. If I don't want what mama's cooking, I'm just going to go cook whatever I want. I don't know about you, but in my house, you ate what mama cooked or you didn't eat. Better yet, you was going to eat it anyway if you wanted to live. There was no going in and telling mama, "Mama, what's for dinner? You cooked what? I don't want that." See, I tell everybody, my mama would have knocked me in the next week and been there waiting to knock me back. We did not dare to tell mama what she was going to do for us. Now, I see a lot of smiles, so y'all know that my mama was no joke. You ate what was there. There was no, "I'm 16, you're going out and buy me a new car." There was no, "I'm in trouble, so you're going to bail me out." There was no, "My car got impounded, so you're going to pay the money to get it out." I see it day in and day out of parents coming to get their kids' cars out of impound, paying $2,000 and $3,000 for a car that's only worth $1,000. I don't know what happened to the parents of this world. I think part of it was they stopped being parents and started being friends. You cannot be your friend, the friend of your child. You have to be a parent. You are responsible for that child, at least until they turn 18. And then when they know it all, boot them out. Boot them out. You see, I have to share another story with you that I got a laugh out of. My baby son works for Facebook. And so the kids were off on Friday, and they go down to Facebook to visit their dad at work. And the baby is two. And all of a sudden they hear over the security radio, be on the lookout for Andre James West. Why are they being on the lookout for a two-year-old? I'm still trying to figure out why I got to go bail my two-year-old grandson out of jail. I don't know what he did. I think, as I was telling Ron, maybe he took his Tonka truck and ran into Facebook building trying to knock it down. I don't know. They say them terrible twos or something else. But even the security people had to laugh that they're looking for this two-year-old. All they had was a name. And you know, when your name gets out there, it was probably somebody else, but he had the same name and they're looking for him. And it turned out this two-year-old they were looking for. And of course, you know, they said that he was just talking to them all, giving them, like, got to be careful nowadays. But see, the whole thing was that in this day, sometimes we got to watch what's going on around us. We are not entitled to anything. You know, how many of you are entitled to live here? How many of you are entitled to live here at the Dublin Ranch? I don't want to tell you, but the only reason you're living here is because you pay rent every month. Miss your rent payment and see how long you're here. There is no entitlement. Pay your rent or get out. Okay? We're too busy teaching our children that the world is friendly. The world's going to do whatever you want. Instead of teaching them reality. Reality says there are consequences for your actions. You don't pay your taxes, you're going to jail. You steal somebody's car, you're going to jail. Steal the wrong person's car, you might die. There are consequences for your actions. But not every consequence is bad. When you do the right thing, there's a positive consequence. Dad, I've accepted Jesus Christ into my life. You know what? We are going to celebrate because that's a right choice. We've got to teach our children to make good choices. But I'm getting back on to the sermon here. And I want to close with this. Hebrews 3, 7 through 15. Hebrews 3, 7 through 15. Again, from the New King James Version, it says this. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion, in the day of trial, in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in the departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ. If you hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts in the rebellion. One thing you got to remember is you will never, never walk victorious until you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you are listening today and you've never asked the Lord for forgiveness and ask him into your heart, take a moment and open your heart and mind to God. Do you feel guilty? Do you know that you were meant to live for eternity and yet you know there's something terribly wrong? Are you in a desert place, seeking but not finding that much needed water? Jesus is reaching out to you right now, offering you that living water. Are you ready to accept it? If you are, just raise your hand right now. Now I'm going to ask you to pray with me. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, far from you. Right now, I invite you into my heart. I ask you to forgive me of my sins against you, and I invite the Holy Spirit into my heart. If this is the first time you've prayed that prayer, I have but one more thing to say, and that is, welcome to the family. If you are here in the sanctuary, I want to pray with you. If you're listening on the web, please find a local church to fellowship with. God loves you and only wants the best.